All right, Rav Osai, good morning. Today's daf is Lamed. We are picking up from the top of Lamed to thank our sponsors for today's shiur, to thank Mark and Elsa Lussman for dedicating the shiur. Amen. You guys ready? In memory of Elsa's father, Moshe Cantor, Moshe Leib, Ben Chaim Zichrono Livracha, as well as our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, Le'ilui Nishmas, Adam's grandfather, Moshe David Ben Shalom, and the honor of Adam's grandmother, Helen Nachman, and his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant them Arichos Yomim Vishonim. And with that, let us begin. So remember, again, we're picking up in the middle. We're just going to finish off that Brisa. And again, we're doing it a little bit quickly because the Netzias of it, again, we saw yesterday that this was the case of the woman who comes before the Chachamim after having been clean for 3 weeks. But again, after also going ahead and having 10 weeks of alternating weeks of bleeding versus not bleeding. So the Gemara was trying to, and again, the issue over here is she's not sure exactly when she gave birth. She's not exactly sure what happened at all. So we're just going through, because of that, so essentially what we're beginning to see in this price is we have to account for every single possibility. When we say every single possibility, we're going to see it's a possibility of Leda, of birth, it's a possibility of Nida, and it's a possibility of Yoledes Zohar Bezov, Yoledes Nekeva Bezov, right? That maybe she gave birth to a boy or to a girl in a state of Ziva as well. So let's continue. So it's top, Mamish top of Lamed, first word. Nichde, Yimei Tarakam. So remember again, we ended off yesterday with the concept of Beis Shammai's 95 Tevilos. So we're going to discuss that a bit more today. And the principle that the Gemara ended with in yesterday's daf was that according to Beis Shammai, a Tevul Yom Aruch, which means a Tevul Yom Aruch, it means, what's a Tevul Yom? A Tevul Yom is a person who has gone to the mikvah, but Lamais, again, still requires Harav Shemesh. So the idea is, I might have thought that a person who's in this, so a Tevul Yom Aruch means a person who is in a prolonged state of quasi tara. So the issue at play over here is, does the Tevul Yom Aruch require additional tefilos or not? Given that those additional tefilos are not really technically going to make a difference until the final tefila. So Beis Shammai holds that Tevilas Yom Aruch requires a tefila, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who said that halacha l'maaseh, so we just do one tefila at the end. So michtei, yimei tara kamahavu. So we'll say, out of this whole thing, how many days of tara could she possibly have? Shisin v'shisa, 66. Dal shavua gimel dat balinan buhu. So take away the third week in which she's already going to the mikvah, like we saw last week's daf. Pashaluhu. Shisin nichi chada. That leaves you with 59. Shisin nichi chada. I'm sorry. Shisin nichi chada. Shisin nichi chada. 59. And tlasin vehe and 35. Tishin vedalad havyan. That comes to the 94, the number of tvilos. But Beis Shammai didn't say 94. Tishin v'chamish, maya v'detayu. But one second, the Mishnah, the Braisa said before that according to Beis Shammai, she's immersing 95 times. Am Rabbi Yirmiyahu midifti, kigon shebasa lefaneinu ben ashmashas. So what would be the case? The case is where she's coming before us, ben ashmashas. Dihavina le tevila yiserasa. That because it's ben ashmashas, we would require her ultimately to do another tevila. Ule besil da amri tevilas yom aruch lo bai tevila. Lamid hey, maya v'detayu. But according to Beis Shammai, holds that tevilas yom aruch, which was the state we just described. When a person is in a state of prolonged tumah, and I will say in this case over here, there's actually multiple overlapping levels of tumah, or potential tumah. See, the problem is we don't know what to do with this woman. So because that there are multiple overlapping levels of tumah, so according to Beis Hillel, who says that in such a situation like this, you would not require tevila, lamed hey, maya v'detayu, why does Beis Hillel mandate 35 tevilos? I'll tell you why. Estrim v'tamnia akida amram. So ultimately, again, 28 tefillos. That's what we already said at the beginning of the Braisa. Hach shavua hei. Furthermore, during the fifth week, matbalinon kol laila v'laila. We go ahead and we have her immersed in the mikveh every night. Why? Because by the time you come to the fifth week, emar sof nidahi. It's possible that I will say for choshesh, for the fact that she's a nida, ultimately, again, that would be the end of her nida cycle, or her yimei tara. then Yud Shavuin Lamali. So ask the Gemara, why do you have to set up this case? So we'll say, so again, what's the purpose of this case? The purpose of this case is ultimately to show us how in a state of doubt, we deal with all these potential different levels of tumah. That's what the point of the case is. Says the Gemara, but Yud Shavuin Lamali, why do you have to set it up as a case of 10 weeks? Betamnia Upalga Sagi, you could have created the same exact case with dealing with 8.5 weeks. I did the Tana Palga de Shavua Masik Leib. Because everyone said the truth is we don't have to deal with 8.5 weeks. So once we're not going to deal with 8.5 weeks, we're going to deal with whole weeks. We'll make it 9 weeks. Once you're going to make it 9 weeks, I did the Tana Shavua Tame, Tana Nami Shavua Tar. What's the problem with 9 weeks is then that last week would have been a Tame week, just in the alternating. So instead of ending it off with a Tame week, we ended off with a Tar week, rounding it out to 10. Good. Va'ika Tfilas Zava. So the Gemara says, Va'ika Tfilas Zava. So we'll say, what about the fact that technically speaking, we could go ahead and also add in here additional tfilos if she were to be a Zava? We're only talking about the tfilos that she would need to do in order to potentially be with her husband, not the tfilos that would occur after she's permitted to resume a normal intimate relationship. But according to Beis Shammai, I will say, who is taking into account different tfilos that occur even after she is with her husband, so why doesn't he include tfilas zava? To which the Gemara says, "Beleida kamayri, beziva lo kamayri." Because what's according to Beis Shammai, in the list of potential tfilos, we're talking about leida related tumos, not zava related tumos, not zava by itself. So what about? But that's not true. It was one of the things that we're taking into account over here is if she gave birth in a state of zivus, yoledes bezov kachashiv, ziva gredasa lo kachashiv. The Gemara says, you're right. We're taking into account the possibility that she was yoledes bezov, but not taking into account what? If she's just a zava by itself. Shavuasa kama, da asila kaman, lit bala dioma. So I don't understand, even the first week that she comes before us, why don't we have her immersed by day? Dilma, kol yoma v'yoma shalimulei sipurim dida. Because maybe I would say even in that first week, she's completing a certain level of yitara. So I would say in the model that we have over here, in that first week, she's not going to the mikvah. So why don't we go ahead and say even in week number one, let her go to the mikvah because maybe there's some count that would be concluding in that first week. To which the Gemara says, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Akiva. What's his effect, Rabbi Akiva? What does Rabbi Akiva say? Da Amar Ba'inon Sipurim Bifanenu. So we'll say, so we're going to see, actually, Rashi points out over here that this is Lakamon Daf Samech Tes. We'll see this sugya later on. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Halacha L'maisa, in order for days to count as Yimei Tara, they have to, literally it means, they have to be counted in front of us. Which means that Halacha L'maisa, in order for Yimei Tara to count, they have to be definitive Yimei Tara. There's no such thing as possible Yimei Tara, only definitive Yimei Tara. Now we'll say, now obviously at some point in time, in order to allow her to emerge from these ambiguous states of Tumah, we'll have some type of Yimei Tara. But Rabbi Akiva says, in general, we only do that when we have to. But Lamaisa, you're not going to be told her on the first week, because even though there's a slight possibility, there's a very low probability. And therefore, she's not going to the mikvah on week number one. Sof Shavua Kama Litbala. So why don't you go ahead and have her go to the mikvah at the end of the beginning of the first week? Chad b'shavua lo kamayri. Because I will say, the way we set up this case is when she's going to the mikvah, she's going to the mikvah ultimately again in week increments, not in partial weeks. Yoma kama da'asila kaman litbala dilma shomeres yom kineged yomi. So we'll say, but again, why don't we have her go to the mikvah when she shows up and bathes in the first day and she's not sure about her status? So what you're telling me is we're taking into account every, pretty much, like every single potential tumah possibility. Why don't you have her go to the mikvah on the first day she shows up? Because maybe she's a shomeres yom kineged yom. I will say, what is that? Remember again, if a woman just has one emission, right? So the halacha is not a nida emission, a zava emission. So that's called the shomeres yom kineged yom. The halacha is she's tummy for one day, goes to the mikvah, and that night she's Torah. She's permitted. So I will say, so why not go ahead and have her go to the mikvah that first day that she shows up? To which the Gemara says, Bezava gidola kamairi, Bezava kitana lo kamairi. To which the Gemara says, because Rabbi said, the only case of Zav that we are entertaining are cases of Zava gidola, right? Primary cases of Zav, right? Where there's been three Re'ios, and therefore a requirement for Shiva Nikiyim. We're not dealing with any cases, ultimately, again, of Zava kitana. Good. Says the Gemara, three things you could learn, ultimately, again, from this Braisa. Shmamina, well, number one, lesson number one is keep track of your calendar. That's lesson number one. Shmamina tla shmamina Rabbi Akiva hi da amar ba'ina sipurim befanenu. Ultimately, you know, also you can see from the Rabbi Akiva that we reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva that halacha lemaisa, that when we're talking about the shivanikim of a zava, and I will say we apply this also to the shivanikim of a nida contemporarily, that sipurim befanenu, you require das. I will say, this, by the way, this comes up sometimes where, even contemporarily, where there's a lapse of awareness regarding Shiva Nikiyim. Right? If there's a lapse of awareness regarding Shiva Nikiyim, sometimes that compromises the Shiva Nikiyim themselves. That concept emanates from Rabbi Akiva by Zava Gidola. Rabbi Akiva says, Ba'inan Sipurim Lefanenu. Ultimately, again, when she's counting her Shiva Nikiyim, there must be explicit das and clarity that those are the Shiva Nikiyim. There's no such thing as potential Shiva Nikiyim. It either is Shiva Nikiyim because you have das for Shiva Nikiyim, or it's not Shiva Nikiyim. Next, Shmamina, Rabbi Shimon Hida Amar Aval Amru Chachamim, Asr Lasos Kain, Shema Taval Lidei Safek. Rabbi said, lesson number two is the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon. This we saw in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Shimon says that technically speaking, there are circumstances where after a woman goes ahead and goes to the mikvah by day, that she would be permitted to her husband, even though the Tara may not be fully complete until that night. Rabbi Shimon says we don't do that. Why? Because if it turns out that if she's with her husband, and then sometime before nightfall, something else happens that re-triggers her tumah, retroactively it will turn out that she was prohibited to her husband at the time that she was with him. So Rabbi Shimon therefore says, halacha lemaisa, there are certain circumstances where although relations would be permitted after she takes care of her process by day, because her technical tara is not complete until night, and if something happens in the rest of the day, it retroactively undoes what she did during that day. Therefore, her relations with her husband would be prohibited. Therefore, we do not allow them to be together. So that's Shabbatavali Day Safek. And number three, Shmamina Tvila Bismana Mitzvah. Bosse is very interesting halacha as well. What do you see from here? You also see from here that going to the mikvah at the appropriate time is a mitzvah. So Bosse says, so this is also very interesting. We're going to see this sugya later on about Tvila Bismana Mitzvah. Bosse, this has incredible ramifications, right? Do we say, so I'll say, listen to this, you saw this thick idea. Going to the mikvah at the permitted time, is it a mitzvah to go at the permitted time? Or just technically speaking, that's the time you can go. But if you want to delay it, you could delay it as well. I will say, by the way, this has halacha lemaisa ramifications as well. Right? For example, why is it that a woman is permitted to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? Right? Contemporarily, after all, again, going to a mikvah, immersing, bathing in general, has certain isurim. Some of that, they're dirabanans, but lemaisa says some of them could border on daraisas if a person doesn't know what they're doing. So why do we allow it? Because we paskin tefila bizmana mitzvah. And because tefila bizmana is mitzvah, that's why I will say, if halacha lemaisa, a woman delayed going to the mikvah, just halacha lemaisa, a woman delayed going to the mikvah. This one was, well, I had to go to the mikvah on Thursday night, right? But she had a chasana. She couldn't get to the mikvah on Thursday night. She can't go on Shabbos night. That's halacha. You can't go Friday night unless it's a tefila bizmana. Unless, again, mamish, that's the night for Leil tefila. Why? It's Shabbos. Because tefila bizmana mitzvah. Shabbos also says something else about the idea that a woman doesn't delay her tvila. Sometimes, again, the leil tvila is not a convenient time for whatever the reason. There's an inyan dafka to always make sure that a person goes to the mikvah at the right time because tvila bismano mitzvah. Good. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Amar, daila tvila b'achrona. So let's listen to this. Now remember again, in the Braisa of Selashit of Rabbi Yossi, what did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi, I will say, disagreed with Beis Hillel, disagreed with Beis Shammai, and what did he say? After this woman comes before me with this 13-week saga, so what do we tell her? We calculate all the different timetables, and what does she do? One immersion at the end. One immersion at the end. So here's what's interesting to note. What's going on? See, Rabbi Yossi makes a lot of sense, right? Rabbis make a lot of sense, because at the end of the day, you have all these sfeikos. Here's what's clear. One tevila at the end will definitely do what? Take care of everything. So you've got Beis Hillel saying 35. You've got Beis Shammai saying 95. And Rabbi Yossi says one. One. So we'll say, what's the yisod of this machlokes? Do we hold tevila bizmana mitzvah? Is going to the mikveh at the appropriate time a mitzvah or not? Rabbi Yossi says, the lo aminon tevila bizmana mitzvah. So we'll say, what's happening over here is in Beis Hillel Beis Shammai's model, so all of these different scenarios trigger all of these different tevila obligations. And because they hold tevila bizmana mitzvah, therefore what? Therefore they require the woman to go to the mikveh all these different times. Rabbi Yossi says, tevila bizmana is not a mitzvah. Tevila bizmana, Bosa, is a what? Is a matir. Remember again, we've seen this back in our chulin days. There are two different ways to view halachic obligations. Things could be a mitzvah, or things could be a matir. Remember again, where do we see this? We saw this by shchita, right? Shchita. Is shchita a mitzvah, or is shchita a matir? On one hand, we make a bracha on shchita. Make a bracha on shchita. On the other hand, again, I will say, is there a notion to say, you know what, I'm not in the mood for fleishiks today, but you know what, hey, why not? Right? I'll just go and shech, because if it's a mitzvah, maybe there's a mitzvah to shech. So be pashto shchita, something that's more like a matir. Right? There's no mitzvah to shech, but if I want to eat, here is how I have to eat meat. Here's what I have to do. So their machlokes is, how do you view tevila? Is immersion in a mikvah a matir? A woman is, by the way, it's not just for a woman, it's for a man also. Right? A person is tame, and it's the immersion in the mikvah that allows them to do whatever, you fill in the blank, intimacy, going to the Beis HaMikdash, eating Kodesh, whatever it might be. Is it a matir or is it a mitzvah? He'll say, what's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is exactly this case. The nafkamina is when you have a situation like this where there are so many different things happening at the same time, each of them generating their own immersion obligations. Will you immerse for every single possibility? Or just do one at the end, and that one at the end covers everything. Rabbi Yossi says, tevila bizmana is not a mitzvah, therefore just do one at the end. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both hold tevila bizmana is a mitzvah, and therefore do all of these immersions to cover all of your possibilities. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah, Hamapelsi Yomem. I will say, we paskin tevila bizmana is a mitzvah. That's how we paskin tevila bizmana is a mitzvah. That's why, again, we don't like going to the mikvah. That's why you go to the mikvah on Shabbos night, if that's the zman. Good. Says the Mishnah, Hamapeles liyom mem. We'll say, here we go. Now, we get into another interesting sugya here. A woman miscarries on the 40th day after becoming pregnant. So what's the halacha? Eino chosheshes levlad. So we'll say, she is not choshesh that she was carrying a baby. Rashi says, "Ino chosheshes levlad shelo nigmara yitzirasa at shekalu kol mem yom." So remember again, this reinforces the view of Chazal that the pregnancy is not a pregnancy until after 40 days. 40 days must have gone by. For the first 40 days, a pregnancy is called maya ba'alma. It's called water. It's called water. I will say, so therefore, again, no, termination of that pregnancy would not be problematic. A variety of different things. And again, if she miscarries, quote unquote, during those 40 days, halacha lemaaseh, again, there's no tumas leida. There's no tumas leida during that time. Good. So the Gemara says, liyom mem alif, what happens if she miscarries on the 41st day? Then what's the halacha? Teshev lezachar ulenekeva ulenida. Now, Abba say, here's what's interesting. If she miscarries on day 41, then Abba say, what's happening over here? Say, now, here's my problem. There are a couple of possibilities. Either A, she did miscarry, and it was a pregnancy. So maybe it was a male, maybe it was a female. But then there's a third possibility, which is what? That Allah Khamai said it was nothing. So you must remember again, we have two different significant intervals. Interval number one in pregnancy is 41st day. 41st day says this is a pregnancy. But remember, she doesn't have a cheskas mi'uberes until when? Until when?
3 months.
Until 3 months, right? Excellent. Right? So I would say, really. So the Gemara says, so 3 months. So I would say, so remember again, here's what's interesting. Between 41st day and 3 months, if she goes ahead and she miscarries, there is always the possibility that what? That what? That maybe it was a pregnancy, but maybe what? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. This is very interesting. So we'll say, so on 41 days, it becomes quote-unquote a pregnancy, but it doesn't have a cheskas me'uberes. So therefore, again, if she miscarries on day 41, teishev lezachar, ulenekeva, ulenida. Maybe again there was a pregnancy. Therefore, again, zachar nekeva. Obviously, we wouldn't know the gender, right? And also maybe it was just nida. So we'll remember again, whenever we speak about you have to be choshesh v'nida, what does that mean in these purposes? It means we'll give her yemei tuma, i.e. 14 days as if she miscarried, all right, a female girl, but ultimately, again, no yemei tohar, right? No clean days. So she'll have 14 days of yemei tuma, and then that's what it means when we're choshesh v'nida. Good. Rabbi Yishmael says, this is very interesting, yomem aleph teishev l'zachar ulenida. Yom pei aleph teishev l'zachar ulenekeva ulenida. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yishmael says that there's a different, I guess we'll call it gestational period, for boys and for girls. Rabbi Yishmael says if she miscarries on the 41st day, she has to be choshesh that maybe it was a zachar and maybe for nida. Which means we'll say what? What does that mean for our purposes? 7 days. 7 days, because that's the yimei tumah, ultimately again of a zachar, and no yimei tohar. If she miscarries on the 81st day, then teishev lezachar ulenekeva ulenida. Then under those circumstances, she'll be choshesh for a zachar, a nekeva, and nida. Why? Shazachar nigmar lemem aleph, v'hanekeva lepe aleph. Because Rabbi Yishmael says that a boy is initially formed at 41 days and a girl at 81 days. You'll see where that comes from. It just Rabbi Chum say no. Echad bria sazachar ve'echad bria sanakeva zev zemem aleph. The Chum say no. 40 days is the magic number, right? Or the 41st day is the magic number. Once you get to day number 41, zachar nakeva, gender is irrelevant. At the end of the day, now there is considered to be a pregnancy that is there. Before the 41st day, ultimately, again, it's maya ba'alma. So if she expels something, that'll just be treated like nida. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes. If she expels, right, if she miscarries before the 40th day, there's no chashash for vlad. The pashtos, there is a chashash for what? For what? For nida. Right, then there'll be a chashash for nida. Because that goes back to what we said before, of ein psichas hamakar below dam. Whenever the uterus is open, we assume that Allah Chalamai said there's going to be uterine blood. Again, we'll see all of this. The shayla is what happens on day number 41. So we have, again, on day number 41, if she expels something, so she'll have to be choshesh for zachar, nekeva, and nida, which essentially means tameah for 14 days, because that's the more chamer, right, of a nekeva, and no yimei tohar. Rabbi Yishmael says, different periods of time for boys and for girls. At day number 41, if she miscarries, she's only choshesh for a zachar and for nida. At day 81, if she miscarries, she'll be choshesh for zachar, nekeva, and nida. Says the Gemara, lama huska zachar, ol yimei tumah. I'm sorry, lama huska zachar. So we'll say, asks the Gemara, why do you even have to bring up zachar? So we'll say, so remember again, in the case where she's going ahead and miscarrying at day number 41, it says, teishev lezachar, lenekeva, ulenida. The truth is, you don't need zachar. Why don't you need zachar? Because we'll say, remember again, when we have zachar and nekeva, that means you're going to have to take the more chamer yimei tumah. The more chamer yimei tumah are for a nekeva, 14 days for a nekeva, 7 days for a zachar. So why do you have to bring in zachar over here? Just tell me. She's going to be choshesh for a nekeva. To which the Gemara says, se'ili yimei tumah hakatani nekeva. If you want to say it's yimei tumah, so remember again, the yimei tumah will be governed by the nekeva, i.e. 14 days. So the Gemara says, ili yimei tara, if you want to say that it's talking about yimei tara, amud beis, that's not true either. Why? Hakatani nida. I will say, ultimately, again, remember, halacha l'maisa, we said that she's chosheshes for nida. She's chosheshes for nida. She will say, so remember, again, if she's chosheshes for nida, that means what? There are no yemei tara to begin with. There's no yemei tara. So what's going on over here? Twitch the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Shem tira yom lamedalid, v'tachser v'tira yom mem, v'achod, teimikul keles ad memches. We'll say to teach us that halacha l'maisa, if she had a re'iyah on the 34th day, and then she saw again on day number 40, that ultimately, again, that would trigger a nida cycle until day number 48. Same idea, v'chein le'inya nida, nekeva, shem tira yom ayin dalid, v'tachser v'tira yom pe'alif. So same thing by nekeva, if she were to see on the 74th day, and then see again on the 81st day, that halacha l'maisa, she would have to observe the halachas until the 88th day. Fine. Rabbi Shlomo says so again. So therefore, the ramifications ultimately, again, for Zachar and Akeva, that the Gemara is suggesting, are not just simply for the initial Yemei Tumah, but ultimately, again, if she has repeated Riyas. Rabbi Shlomo, Yomem Aleph, Teshev L'Zachar Ulanedia. So Rabbi Shlomo says, well, says, remember again, fundamental machlokis over here, between Rabbi Shlomo and the Chachamim, ultimately, again, about the gestational period for a Zachar and for a Nekeva. So the Chachamim saying everything is 40 days. 40 days is the magic number for everything. Rabbi Shema making a distinction between a boy and a girl. For a male, right, for the male fetus, 41 days is the day at which there's some level of formation. For a girl, 81 days. Says the Gemara Tanya. Rabbi Shema Lomer, Rabbi Shema says, Timei v'tiher b'Zachar, v'timei v'tiher b'Nekeva. So we'll say, so remember again, the Torah has halachas of tum and tar. Rashi says, Timei v'tir b'zachar, mem yom ben shtehem. Zayel to yom al-gimel l'mei tar. So let's listen to this. Remember again, the period of tum and tara, when a woman gives birth to a boy, is how long? Is 40 days. Right? Remember again, a woman gives birth to a boy, so there are 7 days of yemei tuma, and ultimately again, 33 days of yemei tara, which means during those yemei tara, even if she bleeds, she is considered to be tahora. So the unit of time for a boy, for the birth of a boy, is 40 days, okay? Timei v'tir b'nekeva. So I'll say, by a girl, what's the halacha by nekeva? So by nekeva, remember again, everything is doubled. It's 14 and 66. 14 and 66, which is 80. So remember again, for a boy, the unit of time is 40. For a girl, the unit of time is 80. So says Rabbi Yishmael, Ma kishetime v'tir b'zach yitzirasa ki yotze bo, Av kishetime v'tir b'nekeva yitzirasa ki yotze bo. So what Rabbi Yishmael sees like this. Rabbi Yishmael sees that the Yemei Tumah and Tara of a baby relate directly to its gestational period. That just like by a boy, right, the birth unit, we'll call this 40 days, 7 days of Yemei Tumah, 7 days of Yemei Tumah, 33 days of Yemei Tohar gives you 40, tells you that just like the Yemei Tumah and Tara of a boy are 40, the gestational period is 40. In other words, they correspond to each other. Therefore, using that logic, for a girl, it must be the same as well. She has 14 days of Yemei Tumah, 66 days of Yemei Tohar, that's 80 days. It must be that the gestational period of a girl for the fetus to become something significant is 80 days. Amr le said to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a very nice drasha, but ein lemeidin yitzira mituma. Let's say, formation of the fetus has absolutely nothing to do with the halachos of tuma. So to learn that out, one from the other, it has nothing to do with each other. Amr Rabbi Shmuel, so listen to us, it's wild. I said to Rabbi Shmuel, Masa be Cleopatra. Let's say there was a story of Cleopatra. Malkas Alexandros, who was the queen of Alexandria. So we'll say we're going to see Cleopatra is referred in two ways. Here she's referred to as the queen of Alexandria. We'll see her referred to as a Greek monarch as well in just a bit. So there was a story of Cleopatra. What happened to Cleopatra? She nischaivu shif chosea hariga lemalchus. She one time had maidservants who were going to be put to death. So we'll say, because they were going to be put to death, she decided to experiment on them. What did she do? Ubatgan umatsa. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi says, v'nischaivu hariga, umitok sha'omdos liharig, nisu bahem. So we'll say, she experimented with them. And what did she do? V'yachtum labia. So we'll say, what she did is, she made them both engage in relations. become pregnant. Again, we'll talk about the lack of scientific method in this experiment in just a little bit. Shabbos say, so again, so right, they each had relations, and what happens? So we'll say, then she opened them up, right? She opened them up after 40 days. So what was Cleopatra looking for? She was trying to understand the formation of a fetus, right? So she, right, so she had them have relations, and then ultimately, again, open them up after 40 days. Umatzan, v'zeh v'zeh l'mem aleph. And she found something amazing. What did she find? She found that one of them was pregnant with a boy, one of them was pregnant with a girl, and both were formed after 41 days. So what she saw is, so again, I will say, remember again, this is the conversation between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yishmael. Right? So Rabbi Yishmael comes along and says, did I think the gestational period of a boy and a girl are different? For a boy it's 40 days, for a girl it's 80 days, and my raya to that is, that gestational period corresponds to the Yimei Tumah, or to the Yimei Leda, we'll call it. Just like for a boy, the unit is 40 days, for a girl the unit is 80 days. So the Chacham come along and say, That doesn't make any sense. You can't learn out the laws or the concept of gestation ultimately again from Yimei Tumah. It doesn't make any sense. To which the Rabbanim then say back to Rabbi Shmuel, we could bring you a raya from Cleopatra. Right? To bring you a raya from, because Cleopatra once conducted this experiment and it turned out that both for a boy and a girl, after 41 days, Lamai say again, the fetuses were maturing at the same rate. So Amar Lahem, to Rabbi Shmuel said to them, come on. Ani mevi lachem raya min haTorah. Right? Come on, really? That's what you got? Right? I'm bringing you, at least again, listen, Rabbi Shmuel says, again, everything in the Torah is meaningful. So the notion that you see, I'm about to say, see, what Rabbi Shmuel has going for him is, everybody agrees by the formation of a fetus that what? What does everybody agree with? That 40 days is a significant unit of time. So Shmuel says, it can't be by accident that ultimately, again, that the Yimei Leida of a boy, the Yimei Tuman Tara of 40 days, that can't be haphazard, that's the same unit of time. It must be that the 40 days correspond to a Zachar, and therefore 80 days refer to an Akeva. You're bringing me a Raya from Cleopatra, that doesn't make any sense. You're bringing me a Raya from the Shotim. Well, my Raya min haTorah, so we'll say, so what does Rabbi Shmuel mean when he says a Raya from the Torah? Ilema tima v'tiyar b'Zachar, v'tiyar v'tiyar min Akeva, ha'kar mila ein dani yitzir mitumah. So we'll say, so remember again, if Rabbi Shmuel, when he says, I have a raya from the Torah, is referring to the raya he just made before, that the 40 days of a boy correspond to the gestational period of a Zohar, 80 days of a girl correspond to the gestational period of a Nekeva, so they already answered that. You can't bring a raya from Tumah to Yetzira. No. Amakra. Telet Hosef quotes over here, the Pasuk from Vayikra. So the Gemara says over here, Amakra, Telet. So we'll say, what the Pasuk is picking up on over here is as follows. The Pasuk says, what this Pasuk over in Parashas Tazria is talking about the halachos of childbirth. So it says, im nikeva teled. So we'll say, so remember again, the Torah first espouses the halachos if she gives birth to a boy. Then it says if she gives birth to a girl. It could have just said, im nikeva. But instead, it adds in the extra word, what? Teled. Which tells me what? Hosef le'akosov le'da acheres b'nekeva. Rabbi Shmuel says the Torah is coming along and adding in an extra word teled to tell me that what? There's another holada. There is another birth that occurs. To which the Gemara is, so the Rabbi Shmuel says, the Gemara is alluding to over here another gestational period. Umar Rayim, so we'll say that's right. So, okay, so even if you don't like Rabbi Shmuel's 40 to 40, 80 to 80 idea of Tumah to Yetzira, that's fine. Torah says Tele, there's an additional Leda that's mentioned by an Akeva to tell me that what? That the fetal gestational period of an Akeva is different than that of a Zohar. Okay. Why doesn't he like the Cleopatra Raya? Omar Raya me ashotim. Emar Nekeva Kadiv V'yavar Arba'in Yomim Kami Zohar. We'll say first wide line. We'll say for one very simple method. In the Cleopatra experiment, we'll say it's quite possible that what? It's quite possible that one of the women was already pregnant. In other words, that's lack of scientific method. How do you know that you are dealing with the same baseline sample, right? At the end of the day, the woman who is carrying the female fetus may have already been pregnant ahead of time. And when Cleopatra opened them up, it's quite possible that Lamaisa, her fetus was just more advanced. Or I should say, she was just pregnant for longer, and therefore maybe the gestational periods for a boy and a girl are different, but they look the same because they became pregnant at different times. V'rabbanon, sama d'naftza ashkenu. The Rabbanon say, no, she's very interesting. She controlled the Cleopatra controlled the samples how? By ultimately, again, giving them both some type of, called like something that would stimulate abortion, right? That halacha lamaisa, that if one of them were pregnant, that ultimately again, what was it? I hear a lot of murmuring. Okay, good. Something, right? Ultimately again, so therefore she made sure that neither of them were pregnant at the time. Rabbi Shmuel, ika gufa de lo mekabel samar. Rabbi Shmuel says, even so, not every woman responds to that type of treatment. Okay, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says to them. So we'll say, so this is a different version. Rabbi Shmuel says, Masa Cleopatra, Malkas Yevamis. So we'll say there was an episode of Cleopatra. So we'll say it's interesting. Beforehand, she was called the Queen of Alexandria. Here she's called Amalkos Yevanis. We'll say, just so you understand, so Cleopatra, remember again, is the I don't know how far down the family tree, but she comes from Ptolemy. Right? Remember again, Ptolemy who commissioned the Septuagint, right? Ptolemy who got the 70 Zakenims. So Cleopatra is an Enochal, right? Cleopatra is a descendant of his. So the Gemara says, so my son Cleopatra Malchus Yevanis, Shenes Chayva Shiv Chosak Harigala Malchus. We'll say same story, right? She had maidservants who were going to be put to death. So what happened? But so same thing. She made them get pregnant, and ultimately again opened them up. Ubatkan umatzan zacher la'arbaim ve'achad unekeva lepe'alef. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Shmuel has his own Cleopatra story, right? And in his Cleopatra story, what happens? Two maidservants, right? One is opened up on day number 41. One is on day 81. And I will say, what happened? They saw that the two fetuses were exactly at the same level of maturation. So Michelle says, what do you see from here? You see from here that boys and girls, right, a male fetus and a female fetus mature at different rates. Amrulo, ein mevi'en raya min ashotim. So we'll say in this version, that Rabban is saying to Rabbi Shmuel, don't bring raya from fools. My taima, hach dinekeva, yasra barn yo, v'hadibar. So we'll say it's possible that again, ultimately, again, this fetus of the female was delayed. Rabbi Shmuel says, ultimately, so we'll say, essentially the answer is, there's no way to know exactly what the timeline of is over here. So Rabbi Shmuel says, yes, l'shor masrinu. No, Cleopatra put these two women under guard, right, to make sure they wouldn't become pregnant. Rabbanan says, that's nice. Rabbanan, eina petropis la'arayis. Rabbanan says, one thing you can't guard against, which is immorality. Ema shomer gufei ba'alaha. Well, it's possible that ultimately, again, the shomer himself impregnated the woman. V'dilma, ikar uhu la'ach d'nekeva ba'ar bo'in v'chad ha'mishtach ha'kizachar. And it's possible that had Cleopatra opened up, the one who was carrying the female fetus at 41 days, it would have been the same level of maturation. Rabbaye, v'simanei and shabim. Rabbaye says, no, because when they open them up, they're both exactly the same with their features. So we'll say, so two different Cleopatra narratives, two different Cleopatra stories. The first one arrived for the Rabbanon, the second one arrived ultimately, again, for Rabbi Shmuel. Will say, we know that Allah l'maisa, we reject Rabbi Shmuel and accept the Chachamim, which is that we assume that 40 days is the threshold. Doesn't gender does not make a difference in this particular matter. We look ultimately again at 40 days. Before 40 days, the fetus is not considered to be viable. Therefore, the pregnancy, Abba say, forget about a chazokah, it's maya ba'alma. After 41 days is when we are choshesh levlad. Remember again, this is very important. She's choshesh. That's why again, in these cases over here, where she's miscarrying after 41 days, what's going to be the halacha? Zachar, nekeva, nida. It's only after you reach the 3-month threshold that ultimately again, there's even a chazaka. So the Gemara goes, Chachamim say, whether the fetus is male, female, 40 days is the threshold. Chacham hainu Tanakamu. We'll say, remember again, the Chachamim are saying the same thing as the Tanakamu in the Mishnah. V'chitema l'mistamarei shekirabonon v'yachid v'rabim v'halocha kirabim. So we'll say, maybe all it's coming to do is ultimately telling us that the Reisha is like the Rabbanon, and therefore you have machlokes in Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shmuel and a Rabbim, Yaakov Rabbim, halacha Rabbim. So we'll say Pshita, Malditema. So we'll say, so obviously you have machlokes over between the Chachamim, the Rabbim, and Rabbi Shmuel, the Yachid. Whenever you have a machlokes in the Yachid and the Rabbim, the halacha always follows who? The Rabbim. So what's the Shiloh here? I'll tell you why. What's interesting? Malditema, Mistaber Tamid Rabbi Shmuel, the Kamisai they cry. We'll say the reason Rabbi Shmuel Shita is very tempting is why? Why? Because he brings Pesukim. Now, Rabbi, whenever you bring psukim, that adds a little bit of oomph to your argument. So remember again, Rabbi, and not only that, Rabbi Shaul really has a double raya. What's a double raya? Number one, the word teled. There's an extra lay dimension by Nekeva. That's number one. And number two, the 40-80 comparison can be a compelling argument. So I thought that since Rabbi Shmuel advances both a pasuk as well as a biblical argument, the halacha should follow him. Kamash malon not. We'll say now we come to a beautiful, beautiful sugya. Darish Rabbi Smaloi. Listen to this. L'mahav la domei b'may imo. So we'll say this is incredible. To what can a child, to a baby be compared to when it's in the womb of the mother? L'pinkas shemekupa l'munach. We'll say this is actually, the Lashon over here is very interesting. L'pinkas, Pinchas means a tablet, right? Like a tablet that is folded. So what it's saying over here, I'll say, not like a tablet, you know, like a stone tablet. I'll say, so ultimately, again, like a tablet that's folded. Like a tablet that's folded. So we'll say, the imagery that the Gemara is trying to point out over here is what the fetus looks like in the mother, that the fetus is in what we call the fetal position. So listen to this. The Gemara says, Yado ashtet sadaf, its hands are by its temples. Shtei atzilav abez akavosav. Literally translated, what it means is its two armpits are by its two ankles. So we'll say what it's trying to show, ultimately, so we'll say the imagery over here is that the legs are bent up towards the arms. Ubez akavosav abez agvosav. And ultimately, again, its two heels are by the backside. Virosho munach lo bein birkov. And its head is between its knees or by its knees. Upiv sasum, the mouth is closed. Viti bura pasuach, but its navel is open. Which I will say is an incredible yisod, right? That Chazal, again, I will say, what's incredible about this is, remember again, Chazal know this how. They know this by what they observe, right? Because again, a woman would miscarry, or perhaps sometimes again, you know, in general science could be that a woman passed away while she was pregnant, and they would, so we'll say it's amazing what they were able to see, right? The mouth has to be closed, right? If the mouth is not closed, the baby swallows amniotic fluid. So the mouth is closed, right? Piv sasum tiburo pasuach. The navel is open. V'ocha mimashi ima ochalas. And ultimately, again, the baby eats what? The baby eats what the mother eats. The shosa mimashi ima shosa. And drinks what the mother drinks. Ve'ino motzi rei. The baby doesn't excrete. Shema yeharo gisimo. Because if it does, ultimately, again, the mother can die. V'cheven sheyatza la'avir olam. Once the baby comes out into the world, they will say this is incredible. Niftach hasasum v'nistam hapasuach. I will say this is incredible. When baby comes out into the world, that which was closed opens up, and that which was opened must close. She'ol mole kein eno yochel lachios afilu shach. So I will say, sounds very familiar, right? Becomes part of the text of Asher Yatzer. She'in paseach hachamem. Right? Ultimately, again, different versions of the bracha. But ultimately, again, that's, first of all, it's incredible that where does that notion of that which is closed has to be open, and that which is open. So we'll say, again, that dynamic that we speak about in Asher Yatzer. We say, right, there are things that are closed in the body, things that are open. If something that is closed becomes opened, or something that is open becomes closed, oy vavoy, right? Oy vavoy, sometimes a person couldn't live for a moment. So amazing enough, that which is closed while the baby is in utero has to open up when the baby comes out. That which is open has to close. If not, the baby can't live even for a moment. Let's listen to how beautiful this is. V'ner dolok lo al rosho. Listen to how beautiful this is. And there is a candle that is lit over the baby's head. This is in utero, obviously metaphorical. There is a light above the baby's head while it's in the womb. V'tzofa umabit misofa olam va'atzofo. So what this describes over here is that the baby has an incredible awareness in utero. And that awareness allows it to see from one end of the world to the next. Shenemar, quoting over here the pasuk, from Iov Behilo Neiro Alai Roshi La'oro Elechoshech. So the Gemara says, Va'al titamo. Don't say, how could it be that a baby could see from one end of the world? No one could see from one end of the world to the other. I was listening to the Shari Adam Yashin Kan. Person could be sleeping over here. Ve'roach chalom ba'aspamyo. And yet could see a dream that takes him to Spain. We'll see what that means is that ultimately, again, sometimes we're able to see things that might be out of our ocular range of vision, right? But lemaisa, again, we're able to understand things on a different level. So the baby in utero is able to see the world in a different way. We'll see, listen to this phrase. Ve'in lecha yamim sha'adam sharoi betova, yosene osan yamim. We'll see, listen to this. There are no better days than the days in the womb. which first of all is a little bit of a scary statement about life, right? Right? You come into the world and it's all downhill from there. That's not what Chazal are saying. What Chazal is saying, Rabbi Say, is that there's a level of purity. There's a level of purity when the child is in utero that are never replicated in this world. Because I want to say, understand what happens over here. You see, on one hand, when the neshama is in shamayim, of course, again, it's kula kadosh. When I come into this world, already I have a guf. There's an in between state where ultimately, again, so there's an element of physicality to my existence, but yet again, I still have the ability to be kula ruchni. When is that? That's when the baby's in utero. There's a physical form, but ultimately, again, that physical form is untouched by the realities of this world. So it's this incredible moment of physicality, yet with unbridled spirituality. There are no better days, right, than those days in utero. Because the pasuk says, Now, it's also important to understand the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting. The Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Eov, right? Remember, this is Eov talking. And what does Eov say? Eov says, "Who would give me the days, kiyarche kedem, like the months of my past, like the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected me?" Says the Gemara, "Ve'izu yam sheishvem yirachim ve'im yam shanim." But say, what are the days that there are only months and no years? Have Omer Elu Yarchi Leida. This refers ultimately to what? To the months of birth. So Rabbi says, Eov was saying, take me back to the months when God watched over me. What are the months when God watched over me? Those are the days of pregnancy. Rabbi says, this is how beautiful this is. Umalamdin also kala Torah kula. Rabbi says, here it is. And the Gemara says, and what happens? The Malach teaches the baby kala Torah kula. Shneemar Feireni Vayomer Li. Kol Tzav Yerudam Yismach Tvarach Libecha Shmor Mitzosai V'chayev. Omer. Besod Eloka Ale Ahali Maiva Omer Vichi Tema Navihu. Maybe you'll just say he's talking about a Navi Dikamar Tashma Besod Eloka Ale Ahali Vichevan Shabala Avira Olam. And I will say, so the baby learns Kala Torah Kula in utero. Once the baby comes into the world, so what happens? Ba Malach Vesatra Apiv. The Malach comes and taps him. Satra literally means slaps him on the mouth. Umashakho Kala Torah Kula. And ultimately, again, a person forgets his entire Torah, Shene'emar, LePesach Chatas Rovetz. Because listen to the pasuk that it quotes, right? This is the pasuk, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain. LePesach Chatas Rovetz, at the entranceway, right? At the entranceway, Chet waits here. We'll say Chet doesn't always have to mean sin. Chet can sometimes mean deficiency. So ultimately, again, LePesach Chatas, as you enter into the world, you will be deficient. You were shalim in utero. You were shalim. You were complete in the womb. You were learning with Ma Kol Torah Kula. You come into the world, you lose your Torah. They will say, now watch this. This is incredible. You only leave the womb. So before you leave the womb, the Malach, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, administers a shvua to the fetus. An oath. Shene'emar, Kili sichra kol berech, tishava kol lashon. Kili sichra kol berech, before me every knee will bend. Ziyam misa. Well, remember again, death is the most humbling of all experiences. Everyone must kneel before God in death. Shneemar, lefanav yichru kol yard de'afar. Tishava kol lashon. Everyone has to take an oath. What's the oath? Zeyom haleida. Shneemar, nichi chapayim uvar levav, asher lo nasa lashav nafsho, velo nishba lemirma. Mahi ha-shvua, shemashbirno. So, I will say, what's the shvua? This is, get ready for this. What's the shvua? Ultimately, again, that the baby has to take. Here's the shvua. Tihi tzadik ve'al tihi rasha. Both said the baby has to take a shvua. Swear to me, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that you're going to be a tzadik and you're not going to be a rasha. Both said, do you hear this? This is the oath that every single one of us took before we came into this world. I swear that I will be a tzadik and I won't be a rasha. But then it says, va'afilu kala olam omrim lecha tzadikata. And even if the entire world tells you that you're a tzadik, heye be'einecha Kirasha. In your own eyes, you should always be a Rasha. And we'll say, now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That ultimately, again, at the end of the day, even if everyone else tells you that you are righteous, know that there is so much more than you could be. Know that there's so much more, ultimately, again, that you could accomplish. Ve'hevi'odea, she'akodesh baruch hu tar, or mishar sav tahorim. So we'll say, know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tar. Those who serve him are tahorim. Uneshama shenasan bechata horehi. And the neshama that I've given you is tarbo. So do you hear this dialogue that is happening right before we come into the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, swear to me that you're going to be a tzaddik. And swear to me that even if people think you're a tzaddik, you will always push yourself more and more and more. Because even if everyone else tells that you're a tzaddik, in your own eyes, be a rasha, which doesn't literally mean be a rasha. But so what it means is, in your own eyes, know that no matter how great people think you are, know that you could always become more. Know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tar. And if you serve him, you could be tar. And the neshama that he gave you is tar. Imata meshama betara mutav. If you keep your neshama tar, incredible. Ve'im love. And if not, harini notla mimcha. If you do not keep your neshama tar, unfortunately, I will have to take it from you. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Mashal Koin Shemasra. So we'll say, okay, we'll stop over here with Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. I will say, but this is the conversation. This is the dialogue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with each of our neshamas ultimately before it comes into the world. Shkoyach.